Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line this evening Warren Smith, and we're going to be talking about a book he's written called Deceived on Purpose, The New Age Implications of the Purpose-Driven Church. And that's going to be our subject tonight. Now, as many of you know, I'm very, very concerned that a great apostasy is sweeping throughout the Christian world today, primarily in the Protestant Church, but even to a lesser extent in the Catholic Church. And this is basically watering down the thrust of the Gospels. We did an interview with Warren the other day, and when a young man called in, and we were talking about the various Bible translations, well, he had a moderately liberal Bible translation, but he was saying he liked to use this with young people, because, of course, young people didn't want to hear the old concepts. They didn't want to hear about the blood of Christ. They thought that that was offensive to them. So he wanted to sort of use a gospel that would be user-friendly, as it was. And these same philosophies have been used through the years. John MacArthur, who I consider one of the great ministers of our time, has a 5-tape series on the purpose-driven church, the purpose-driven life, talking about what happened in England 100 years ago when Charles Sturgeon, the great, great Calvinist minister, spoke out against the effort to water down the gospel in England to make it more user-friendly. And, of course, he was driven from the pulpit, died a broken-hearted man. But the significant thing is that in England today, why the church is almost non-existent. So if you begin to change the gospel, if you begin to water it down to make it user-friendly, to get more people into the church, to make it more acceptable to society, to make the gospel more like society rather than try to bring make the society more like the gospel, why, you change its meaning, you change its strength, you change God's purpose and God's plan, I believe. So, well, that is the background. Warren Smith, thank you so very much for being with us this evening.
Nice to be with you, Stan.
Why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself, because I think that will help to sort of clarify why you've written this book.
Well, in 1979, to oblige a friend, went and saw a psychic. Wasn't really so much for any spiritual reason, but just to please my friend. And so during this psychic reading, some supernatural things happened that made me think that something really good was happening. And as a result of that experience, I moved very deeply into the New Age. And we can pick that up after. It sounds like you have a break.
Oh, go ahead. Anyway, you got into the New Age, and then you got into something called A Course in Miracles. Is that right?
Yeah. After my experience with the psychic, I really kind of took off and got involved in a number of different things. But the predominant teaching that I had when I was in the New Age was A Course in Miracles. And A Course in Miracles is reputedly delivered, it's new revelation reputedly delivered by Jesus to this present generation to help us in a time of crisis. I had no idea that the Jesus of A Course in Miracles was a false Jesus, a false Christ.
We'll be back in just a moment here with Warren Smith. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Warren Smith, and, of course, we're talking about his entrance into the New Age, and of course, within the New Age, there's a whole different philosophy. They talk about Christ, but the Christ is within us. It's a different Christ, isn't it, than the Christ of the Bible?
Absolutely. And of course, those of us that don't have a Bible background don't know that. I was actually reluctant to even get involved with A Course in Miracles just because I was resistant to the Christian language. But it's very clever the way that the spirit world has worked this out. And the devil that The Course in Miracles denies is very active in deceiving the whole world right now. And the Christ that is presented in A Course in Miracles in the New Age is a universal Christ. It's a Christ that is not Jesus the Christ. They say that Jesus is a way shower. He is one who shows the way to God and to Christ, but he's not a savior. His death on the cross has no significance to the New Age. And you were mentioning earlier, Stan, about the man that called in and was hesitant to talk about the blood of Christ to the young people. The blood of Christ, his atoning death on the cross, is a sacrifice for our sins. And it is a difficult concept to explain, perhaps, to young people, but I think that's the job of a good youth pastor or a good minister, to be able to explain that in such a way that they don't become fearful, that they understand the incredible sacrifice that was made. But the idea is, in The Course in Miracles, is that we are all God, we are all Christ, we are all one. And that's the key right now. There's a choice that's looming in the future. You can decide that, you know, you are all, that all humanity is a part of God, that we are all Christ and we are all one, or that Jesus is the Christ and he is the one that is the one that sacrificed his life for us, and that we only become one with God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The scripture that really makes that clear is Galatians 3:26-28. It says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." It says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." The Course in Miracles says that we are all Christ. It says the recognition of God is the recognition of yourself. In the future, I think people are going to live or die based on their understanding of whether they think that they are God or whether they believe that Jesus is the one that the Bible says he is, that he is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Well, I think the important thing is that there is a new move that is intent upon changing the thrust of the biblical story and, of course, watering it down, making it more acceptable, and using so many translations of the Bible, nobody quite knows what the Word of God is. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course Warren Smith, not knowing too much about the scriptures, got involved with the New Age, got involved with the Course of Miracles, began to find out that there really is supernatural power out there, and you can tap into this, but of course at the price of your eternal soul. And as time goes by, he begins to get this teaching that we are all Christ, we are all one, and it's a pantheistic philosophy. It is basically the devil's own doing. It's an effort to lead people away from the truth towards this false gospel, which is really being increasingly embraced all across America today. Now, I'm sure that most people in purpose-driven churches don't see this. They certainly have their faith that's not going to be shaken and maybe altered a little bit, but they still are going to have their faith and believe in what they believe in. The problem is that the people coming into the church are going to get a watered-down gospel. And the first thing you do in this whole program of the purpose-driven church is to get multiple Bible translations, not one Bible translation that everybody agrees on, but multiple Bible translations, and we say that's the Word of God. Well, why would your Bible say something different than my Bible if it's the Word of God? And really, you can't very well memorize Bible verses because there's so many different translations of each Bible verse. Pick up the story then. How was it that you happened to get out of the New Age movement and come to Christianity?
Well, I was very, very involved. I mean, I had gotten involved with the Guru Rajneesh while he was in India before he came over to the United States, and thank God I got out of that movement before he came over. But one of the things that people don't understand is that almost all of the New Age teachings, almost all of these alternative teachings, are basically teaching the same thing, that God is in everyone and everything. Everything is God. And so I was going from one thing to another, and the Course in Miracles, as we talked about earlier, was the predominant. I went to a Course in Miracles group. I was going weekly. I was learning all these teachings that are really the Bible upside down. And to make a long story short, I actually had a book. It's out of print now called The Light That Was Dark. It's my testimony. I had to deal with a malevolent presence, and it didn't really fit into our my wife's and my vocabulary, because you deny evil. When you're in the New Age and you're deceived by these teachings, the Course in Miracles says there's no sin, there's no evil, there's no devil. Any darkness that you see out in the world is just a projection of your own inner fears. In essence, if you have something coming at you that feels evil, you're really just looking in a metaphysical mirror. And what you do is you go inside yourself and you affirm that you're God, that, you know, that there is no evil, that you could see peace instead of this, and you affirm your way out of it. Well, that didn't work. This presence persisted, and we went to our Course in Miracles group leaders, and we said, you know, there's something going on here. We've taken responsibility for it. We've applied all of our Course in Miracles lessons. Nothing seems to be working. And it was kind of ironic, because the Course in Miracles group leader actually tried to do a little ceremony with sending love and light, and we all held hands and stuff. And when we were walking out of the door, I turned and I said, "Isn't there anything else that we can do?" And his wife, who had a church background at one time before she got involved, she said, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Yeah. And I looked at her and I said, "Trudy," I said, "what are you talking about? There's no devil." And her husband was really embarrassed, because this guy traveled around with an Edgar Cayce group in Europe looking for psychics and doing all this high-powered metaphysical research. And he's looking at her and he's going, "Oh, honey, you know, come on now." And she said, "I don't care. There's a devil. He's real." So my wife and I went home that night, Stan, and we pulled out this King James Bible that a woman had given me, because it was a Christian woman who was so concerned about my New Age teachings. When I told her about them, she gave me this King James Bible. They weren't giving the message back then. She gave me a King James Bible. And my wife and I read this in Ephesians, and we just kind of shook our heads, and we said, "Well, Trudy has our best interest at heart. She must have gone to church at one time," and we dismissed it. Anyway, this presence did not leave. And ultimately, we ended up down at my mother-in-law's place down in Southern California at Christmas time in 1983. And this presence was still kind of dogging us. And we were just beside ourselves. We didn't know what to do. So one day while my wife was visiting a friend, she was actually my girlfriend at the time, became my wife soon after that. As soon as we became Christians, we understood that we needed to get married. But anyway, I was in a bookstore, and in the metaphysical New Age section, which is the only section I ever really looked at, I saw a book called The Beautiful Side of Evil by Johanna Michelson. And I pulled it down, and I didn't know that it was written by a Christian woman who had been involved in the same things that we had and had to deal with evil, who had a spirit guide named Jesus that pretended to be Jesus but wasn't Jesus. And she had a very remarkable solution for dealing with the evil that she was dealing with. And I wrote it down. And actually, while I was in the bookstore, somebody came off the street back into the bookstore where I was reading this and started screaming at me and asking me if I was going to buy the book, what was I doing with this book. And I just kind of clutched the book to my chest, and it was like, does evil know that I'm reading about it? It was like my first understanding that there was an external element. So anyway, after he left and I took down a few notes, the next day when we had to deal with this presence again, I told my wife, I said, "This is going to be a little bit different," but I said, I really believe what I was taught by this woman yesterday, and I want to try this. So I said, repeating those words that I'd read, I said, "Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command you to be gone. I forbid your presence here. I claim the protection of the blood of Jesus upon us. Go where Jesus sends you." And it was like whoosh. It was like the presence just left immediately. And my wife looked at me and she said, "What was that? What happened? It's gone." I said, "I don't know, but it has something to do with Jesus' death on the cross. There's something much more significant about that than what the Course in Miracles has been teaching us." By the way, Stan, the Course in Miracles, it's Jesus says this about the cross. Quote, "Do not make the pathetic error of clinging to the old rugged cross. The journey to the cross should be the last useless journey."
Now that, of course, comes from the Course of Miracles. And of course, the journey to the cross is the way to life.
And you know, it's a very hard thing. The world does not want to hear that it's the only way. And I was asked once on a TV program, "Are you saying that Jesus Christ is the only way?" And I said, I'm glad he provided a way. I mean, it's like, why are we arguing? I mean, God provided a way out. Jesus is the way. And it's just as simple as that. But, of course, when you're confused and lost and deceived, you don't know that.
Well, you know, I think the thing, Warren, is it's so difficult for many people who are not Christians, and perhaps even for some Christians, to really understand there is another dimension there. There are beings from that other dimension. There are demonic forces. And sometimes they will actually haunt you. They will besiege you. And of course, I'll never forget the first time I ever had this experience. I was going to give a talk at the church, and I just had this terribly uneasy feeling. I've done a lot of talks. Nothing ever really phases me much, but I had this feeling of almost impending doom, and I mentioned this to the minister. Oh, he said, I have this all the time. You're under demonic attack. And he told me, of course, to authorize my authority as a follower of Jesus Christ and command the demonic spirit to leave me alone, to go to the pit of hell, you know, and claiming the blood of Jesus Christ. And it was the most amazing thing. Suddenly the demonic spirit was gone. That oppression, that feeling of oppression. And through the years, I've noticed the same thing over and over again, a half a dozen times. And claiming, you know, what we have, you know, as disciples of Jesus Christ, why we certainly can, you know, command those dark and sinister forces. I think that till people understand that we're involved really in one world, but there is another world out there. There is this spirit world. And of course, this is what you'd been contacting. Fortunately, you were able to get rid of it, and you were able to see the hypocrisy of this whole New Age movement. And this, of course, brought you into the kingdom then.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. And I haven't talked with that many people. I think that the spirit world leaves an awful lot of Christians alone, because if they had the experience that you and I had of really seeing how that victory and the power of Jesus' victory on the cross works, you know, I mean, you just don't forget it. I mean, I can hear it when you're talking right now. I mean, you just don't forget something like that, and it proves your faith. I mean, a lot of people, you know, have faith without that experience, and that's great. But boy, when you see that victory, it's interesting, Stan. You know, in 1 John 3:8, this is a purpose that Rick Warren has left out of his purpose-driven church. It says in that scripture, it says, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." And then you look at some of Rick Warren's other purposes that he has. He says he has the five purposes of God, but people need to understand that these are Rick Warren's five purposes, and Rick Warren leaves out much of this conversation that you and I are having. As a matter of fact, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, he says, quote, "It helps to know that Satan is entirely predictable. It's not good, as you know, Stan, to underestimate the devil. We're not to give him more credit than he's due, but he's very slick, and here he has the Course in Miracles being given to a generation that is encountering a lot of crises, is looking for a lot of help, and there are just thousands upon thousands of us that went into these teachings of A Course in Miracles." And one of the things that I find really sad, and what popped out at me as I read The Purpose-Driven Life, is that Rick Warren is really a disciple of Robert Schuller's. And I didn't have any idea that he was as involved with Schuller as he has been over the years. And what really bothered me when I realized this is I read along, I would read a reference, and then I would follow it up, and I would inevitably be drawn into Robert Schuller's books and teachings. And then I found out that Rick Warren had graduated from Robert Schuller's Institute for Successful Church Leadership. As a matter of fact, Schuller even has a statement that he just made on April 4th of this year. He said, "And there's Rick Warren, a pastor who today is phenomenal. He came to our institute time after time. And in Christianity Today, his wife was quoted as saying, 'When we came to that institute, we were blown away.'" The reason I was concerned about his involvement with Schuller is because I happen to know as a fact that in the early 1980s, he had Jerry Jampolsky.
Now, you're speaking of Schuller had Jerry Jampolsky.
I'm sorry, what did I say, Rick Warren?
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
Okay, well, anyway, Schuller had this gentleman. And who
Robert
was Jerry Jampolsky?
Robert Schuller on his Hour of Power program.
Hold that thought. We're just about to... Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course, Rick is, pardon me, Warren Smith is talking about the fact that there's a very close relationship between Rick Warren's teachings and Robert Schuller's teachings, although Rick Warren does not admit this. Now, there's another guru who has influenced Rick Warren, and this is not covered in Warren Smith's book, but that, of course, is Peter Drucker. Peter Drucker is the master of corporate management. He has revolutionized corporate management in the United States. He's revolutionized government, and now his management techniques are being used in churches and have been introduced to the purpose-driven church and the purpose-driven life. But as far as the theology, the point that Warren makes so well in his book, is that the theology behind the purpose-driven life is really the theology of Robert Schuller, although it is not admitted as such. And the problem with Robert Schuller is he has some very strange theological views. And Rick, you were saying that at one time he had actually had this gentleman who's been, has he been pushing the Course in Miracles?
Well, the reason I was concerned, I never paid much attention to Robert Schuller. I know that the woman who had our metaphysical New Age library used to watch Robert Schuller every Sunday, which was kind of an interesting statement that somebody in the New Age would find Schuller so fascinating. One of the things that I noticed and knew over the years was that Robert Schuller in the early 1980s had Dr. Jerry Jampolsky on his Hour of Power program and has referred to Jampolsky through the years. Dr. Jerry Jampolsky has a book called Love is Letting Go of Fear. That was the book that introduced me to A Course in Miracles. Dr. Jampolsky was actually given a manuscript of A Course in Miracles before it was even in book form. That was back in 1975. He's been a teacher of A Course in Miracles to this day. And he, in his book, Love is Letting Go of Fear, he says that his whole book is based on the teachings of A Course in Miracles. Yet Robert Schuller had him on his Hour of Power program and talks about that in his 1982 book, Self-Esteem, The New Reformation. A friend called the Crystal Cathedral in 1985 and said she had asked if they were having Course in Miracles groups at the Crystal Cathedral, and the answer was yes. She was given the times of the groups, and she was told where she could purchase Course in Miracles books. She was actually given explicit directions to the Course in Miracles distribution center that was a worldwide sort of contact point for Course in Miracles groups. So, obviously, the fact that Robert Schuller was so undiscerning as a so-called evangelical minister to be involved with teachings that are the exact opposite of the Bible, I was concerned when I started to look through the purpose-driven life and to see how involved Rick Warren was with Robert Schuller. Rick actually went out to the Crystal Cathedral for one of these institutes, one of Schuller's institutes, while he was still in divinity school. He set up his church a half an hour from Schuller's Crystal Cathedral, and he based his church on Schuller principles. As a matter of fact, Christianity Today had an article in November of 2002, and the author, Tim Stafford, wrote this, quote, during his last year in seminary, he and Kay, that's Rick Warren and Kay, drove west to visit Robert Schuller's Institute for Church Growth. We had a very stony ride out to the conference, she says, because such non-traditional ministries scared her to death. Schuller, though, won them over. He had a profound influence on Rick, Kay says. We were captivated by his positive appeal to non-believers. I never looked back. Then as you go through the 1980s, you realize that so much of the purpose-driven church is really just an extension of the Crystal Cathedral. And what surprised me was that I kept finding all these references to Robert Schuller.
Hold that right there for a moment. Well, I guess this evening is Warren Smith, and of course we are talking about Warren's book, Deceived on Purpose, The New Age Implications of the Purpose-Driven Church. Why is this important, and why am I taking an evening to talk about this? Because the purpose-driven church movement has taken and trained over 350,000 Protestant ministers and laymen in this new gospel, and it really is basically a new approach to the gospel, and this, according to Rick Warren, is going to change the world. They have a program that's going to transform the world, they have a specific approach that is changing the approach to the gospel. For instance, we won't use one translation of the Bible. We'll use many translations of the Bible. Some of them are frankly very New Agey in their whole background, and that, of course, is the Message, and we'll talk about the Message a little later. The Message is a new translation of the Bible that has very little to do with the original Scriptures, but brings in all sorts of New Age terms. And then, of course, we're going to get people to the point where they will not object to what is being taught in church. If they object to it, why, they either have to leave or they have to sign some sort of a contract saying they will go along with what the church wants. Everything is built upon management. Everything is built upon changing the thrust of the Scriptures, so there really is no absolutes that you get away from those old-fashioned absolutes. This is the Word of God. How can you have the Word of God with 15 different Bible translations? So this is designed to really get people away from the fact that the Bible is the written Word of God, and it leads to nothing but confusion. And once you can get people to change from their belief in absolutes, why, of course, then what do they believe in? So pick up the story there, Warren.
Yeah, I think I want to be clear that just because Rick Warren was associated with Robert Schuller, that doesn't, you know, necessarily, we don't want to do guilt by association. But what I found as I read through the book was that many of the words, phrases, ideas, quotes, people that he referred to, church principles, they seemed to all lead back to Robert Schuller teachings. And the fact that he had been to his institute time after time and was so close to Schuller, I started to see the influence that Schuller has had on Rick Warren. The thing that really jumped out at me, there were a number of things that jumped out at me, and I cover those in my book, and I would like to say that it's very difficult to present all this material in even just an hour or two-hour show. And what I tried to do in my book, Deceived on Purpose, was I tried to show how I read the book. As I started reading it, what I was noticing, what I reflected on, what I was able to find out in research, things that I felt that God brought to my attention, and I weaved it together, and I spent a lot of time putting it in a form that I think is very readable and I think will be understood by people. So we're just going to hit a few points. The thing that jumped out at me perhaps more than anything was on page 88 of The Purpose-Driven Life. This is the quote that Rick Warren quotes in that chapter. He says, quote, "The Bible says about God, He rules everything and is everywhere and is in everything."
Is in everything.
Is in everything. And I looked at that and I went, now wait a second. Now, I knew he had, just like you said, he had all these different Bible versions, but I had never, ever seen any Bible version that said that. And it said the New Century version of the Bible, and I hadn't heard of that. I did a little poking around on the internet, and I found out that it was being advertised that very day that I was looking on Robert Schuller's website. And right kitty-corner to that advertisement was a statement from Schuller about his Institute for Successful Church Leadership, and he said that Rick Warren was a graduate of his institute. And I'm looking at all this, and I'm going, what is this involvement with Rick Warren and Robert Schuller? Anyway, the scripture is from Ephesians 4:6. And that scripture is very clear. It says, in the King James, it says, "One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." And the "you" is the Apostle Paul talking to the believers, the faithful, in Christ Jesus. In the New Age, we were taught that the Holy Spirit naturally indwells every person. All of humanity is the body of Christ. Everybody has the Holy Spirit. And This is the way that they regard the world. But we know clearly that when Paul is speaking, he is speaking to Christians. And that's why he said, "in you all," to the Ephesians.
But of course, the idea that God is in everything, this is pantheism.
Absolutely. And that quote said, "He is in everything." And my Course in Miracles, I went to one of my Course in Miracles old lessons, lesson 29, and it says, "God is in everything I see."
And, of course, the trouble is, the more Bible translations you get, the more mischief there can be in them. If the Bible is the Word of God, then why would you use so many different translations? And the new translations, which are designed specifically, in my estimation, to destroy our faith in the validity of the Scriptures. We're going to be back here in just a few moments, and I know many people really love these new translations, but are they right? Thank you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. I guess this evening is of course Warren Smith, and we are talking about the purpose-driven church. And of course, we're really talking about Warren's book, Deceived on Purpose, The New Age Implications of the Purpose-Driven Church. And this isn't to say that there are not an awful lot of good people. I know many people who are in the purpose-driven churches who love the Lord, and they don't see anything wrong with this at all. Well, I'll tell you that John MacArthur, who's a lot smarter than I am, said that he thinks this is pretty is going to destroy the Christian church in America, because what we're doing is watering down the scriptures and changing the word of God to make it more acceptable, to give us sort of that warm feeling. But even more frightening is you take the blood out of the Bible, you take the things in the Bible which challenge our very being, and you make it more acceptable to everybody. Why, then, of course, I don't believe it's acceptable to God, and I think the power of the Scriptures is gone. So you pick up the story from there.
Yeah, I think that what I learned when I was in the New Age is that there's a false Christ moving onto the world scene and moving into the church, and he's doing everything in his power to convert not only the world to his teachings, but to also convert the Christian church to his teachings. He uses a lot of Christian terms like Christ, Holy Spirit, God. This is something that people need to be aware of. If there's a false Christ that is going to be credible to the world, he's going to have to be able to own and to claim as his many people calling themselves Christians. So it just stands to reason that he needs to get into the Christian church. Now, the key teaching that will mean the difference between truth and deception is that he is saying that he is in everyone and everything. When you look at what's in the purpose-driven life, that's already been accomplished in that quote. It's unbelievable. I mean, there it is. Rick Warren says, the Bible says he rules everything, that's God, and is everywhere and is in everything. Now, that's called immanence, the immanence of God. The New Age uses that term repeatedly. As a matter of fact, that whole term, immanence, means God within, the God within. And I'd like to just read what Benjamin Krem, I noticed that a few weeks back, Dr. Stan, I heard you on Coast to Coast, and you may be very well aware that on Coast to Coast, Benjamin Krem has been a guest at least a couple of times in the last couple of years talking about the false Christ Maitreya that claims to be on earth right now, perhaps making an appearance at any time, according to Krem.
All right, but we're going to have to just bring our stations back, and we'll be back in a moment. Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this evening is Warren Smith. We're talking about his book, Deceived on Purpose, The New Age Implications of the Purpose-Driven Church. And we're talking about the fact that there are two major religions in the world. One, of course, is Christianity, and the other is all the rest of them. But, of course, one of the major forces within the occult is something called the New Age. And one of the disciples of the New Age is a man named Benjamin Krem. And Benjamin Krem claims to be sort of the John the Baptist, the disciple of the Lord Maitreya, who will be the universal leader of the world. He is called the Christ, but he would be the Messiah he would be the Christ to the Christians, the Messiah to the Jews, the Imam Mahdi to the Muslims, the Krishna to the Hindu, and you name it, he would be that. He will be the new world religious leader. And Benjamin Krem claims he's on earth waiting to be declared, and of course it's just a matter of time as we move into the world government. It's all tied into I take Benjamin Krem's book, magazine is called Share, and it ties in, of course, to the United Nations and the things that are taking place today. So this is truly an occult religion, Benjamin Krem. This whole movement that he represents, in my estimation, are Luciferian. But why don't you pick up the story there, Warren? Like you were saying, that what had Benjamin Krem been writing?
Yeah, the reason that I mentioned Krem is, first of all, Maitreya, I think you would agree, is certainly a prototype of the false Christ that wants to work his way onto the world scene. You know, I think he's a viable candidate. I don't know if that's going to be the one or not. But it's interesting that hardly anybody's talking about him except Benjamin Krem on Coast to Coast, which is a very major talk show that is heard by a lot of people. But we were talking about Rick Warren's quote that said that God is in everything. And that's immanence. That's the term is immanence. God is within his creation. And I wanted to read a quote from Benjamin Krem. He said on page 88 of his book, The Reappearance of Christ and the Masters of Wisdom, he said, "But eventually a new world religion will be inaugurated, which will be a fusion and synthesis of the approach of the East and the approach of the West. The Christ will bring together not simply Christianity and Buddhism, but the concept of God transcendent outside of his creation, and also the concept of God immanent in all creation, in man and all creation." So he's saying very clearly there that a world religion will be founded on this teaching that God is in everything. What I found really interesting, Dr. Stan, I think you're pretty knowledgeable about the Alice Bailey writings. This, of course, the spirit world worked through her. Joao Cool, I think, was... Is that the pronunciation?
Yes, Joao Cool was the demonic spirit that channeled, I think, 25 or 27 books to her.
And this is the foundation of our present-day New Age teachings. This book, The Reappearance of the Christ, is her earlier version of what Krem's sort of repeating now. And in Chapter 6 in this 1948 book, it says this in these occultic Bailey teachings. "The evolutionary process has brought many to the point of a fresh orientation to divinity and to the acceptance of the fact of God transcendent and God immanent within every form of life. These are the foundational truths upon which the world religion of the future will rest." What's really interesting is that I think we had a caller on another show that we did that was arguing that, you know, that's not what Rick Warren means. He was just saying that God's kind of around his creation. Well, going to the participants guide, which is part of the foundation's course of Rick Warren Saddleback Church, on page 46 of his own manual, there's a section called A Fresh Word. And you recall I just read, it said in Bailey's teachings, a fresh orientation to divinity. It says under A Fresh Word, Rick Warren's teachings say about God, he is both transcendent, above and beyond his creation, and immanent within and throughout his creation. Just very recently, like last November, Robert Schuller on his Hour of Power program said that as a result of his becoming more aware of the immanence of God, his faith was now deeper, broader, and richer more than ever. And he summarized what he meant by saying, quote, "Yes, God is alive, and he is in every single human being." Now, I think with your, you know, study and your knowledge of occultic background, Stan, you would know that the term as above, so below is the key to all occultic mysteries. It comes out of ancient Egypt. It's a saying that I was familiar with in the New Age. It's a magical mystery saying.
As totally above, so below.
As above, so below.
Those are really very magical and mystical words. And, of course, you will find that in the Message, which is a translation of the Bible that Rick Warren refers to over and over again in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life.
Well, that's exactly right. It's interesting because that term, as above, so below, right as I was reading Rick Warren's book and I was coming to terms with some of these things, I was at a library book sale, and I saw this book called As Above, So Below, and it was written by the editors of the New Age Journal. And what they said in the book was this, quote, "As above, so below, as below, so above. This maxim implies that the transcendent God beyond the physical universe and the immanent God within ourselves are one." You can imagine my absolute horror when I saw in Eugene Peterson's The Message, which is the predominant Bible that Rick Warren uses. He uses it more than any other Bible. He calls it a paraphrase, but when he refers to it in his book, he says, "The Bible says." Right in the middle of the Lord's Prayer is this saying. The Lord's Prayer in the King James is, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven." Eugene Peterson's Lord's Prayer, his paraphrase, says this, "Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are, set the world right, do what's best, as above, so below." I couldn't believe it. But then, taking it a step further, in the very first chapter of Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, he, on the dedication page, he's got a quote from The Message. The page before the chapter one, he's got a quote from The Message. Five of the six scriptures that he has in the first chapter are from The Message. The chapter title is taken from Message, Colossians 1:16, and listen to what he quotes to start off his book. From the Message, Rick Warren has this quote, "For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him." Now, Eugene Peterson has already established as above, so below in the Lord's Prayer back in the book of Matthew. So here we are in Colossians. When he says above and below, Eugene Peterson definitely knows what he's referring to. It's a derivative form of this occultic saying that says God is in everything. And then Rick Warren's quoting the New Century Version Bible, which says that God is in everything. What I am absolutely wanting to know is, why aren't we talking about the New Age, what they're doing, how they're moving a false Christ onto the world scene? Instead of exposing this stuff, why are we using the same language? And I think that we've lost track of contending for the faith, and we're starting to do crossover language where it's getting very confusing. And there's just case after case where there's this overlapping stuff with the New Age. And this is perhaps the thing that just stuck out the most. And it's one of the reasons, Stan, that, I mean, I had a job as a hospice social worker on the California coast. I really liked my job. Everybody was reading The Purpose-Driven Life. I didn't know Rick Warren. I really didn't. All I knew is that he was included in a book with some New Age leaders back after September 11th with some other Christian leaders. It was called From the Ashes. All I knew was that he was a Christian pastor. As I read this book, I became absolutely convinced that there was something really dangerous going on. I left my job, I came home, and I basically wrote this book so that I could try to explain the dangers so that we can point these out. Now, we're not saying that Rick Warren is a New Ager, but what we're saying is that he is opening some doors that are extremely dangerous, they're unscriptural, and we need to close those doors quickly. In the Bible it says that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. When I became a Christian, a lot of people came up to me and said, you know, you can have a glass of water that's 99% water, but if it's 1% arsenic, you're dead. And this is the false Christ wants the church to accept this teaching that we're all God, that God is in everything and everyone. And I'm just imploring Christian leaders to start talking about the New Age and exposing it, contending for the faith, rather than ignoring it and going into a lot of just excitement about this purpose-driven life. I think part of the reason this is so popular is that people are not taking a deeper look at some of these issues. And those of us that have come out of the New Age, out of the occult, know that the false Christ is setting a trap and the church is walking right into it.
All right, fine. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, we'll open up our lines because, of course, the our listeners up in the great Northwest and eastern Washington will be leaving us at the hour. So if you'd like to give us a call, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. We have Roger on the line from Pennsylvania. Roger, you have a question?
Just a comment. You've really made some seminally important connections here, which seem to have escaped some other good critics. It just struck me in the pantheism overlap you've been discussing. It reminded me of C.S. Lewis's very appertaine observation that when you boil away all the extraneous, you're really left with only two world religions, Hinduism and Christianity. And I think there's a lot to that, and never the twain shall meet, of course.
Of course, I would call it, I believe there's a demonic religion. I believe that this is what energizes all the other religions of the world. But did you have a question at all?
That was all. God bless you.
God, thanks so very much. And
I'd like to make a comment on what he's just said,
right,
Stan.
Right.
He mentioned Hinduism being the other religion. It's interesting that Rick Warren has proposed a peace plan. The New Age has a peace plan that's an acronym for peace that uses each letter to say something, and Rick Warren has one too. He hasn't spelled out really the difference between his and theirs. But Rick Warren calls his peace plan God's dream for you and the world.
Now, how does he know it's God's dream?
Well, that's a good question, because God's dream, there is no such thing as God's dream in the Bible. There's no concept of God dreaming. But Hinduism has that in their vocabulary, and interestingly, in the 1982 book of Robert Schuller's Self-Esteem, The New Reformation, he talks repeatedly about God's dream. He has a number of quotes. I'll just give you a couple quick ones. Schuller says, quote, God's forgiving grace is incomplete until he gives me and I accept a new kingdom-building dream and opportunity. Another one is, tremendous, quote, tremendous energy is needed to walk God's walk, work God's work, fulfill God's will, and complete His dream for our self-esteem. This whole notion of God's dream is another Robert Shuler concept that Rick Warren has used. And Shuler, again, this was back in 1982. That was right about the time that Rick Warren was just growing his Saddleback Church.
All right, fine. We've got Dale calling from SoCal. Dale, do you have a question?
Yeah, I have a couple questions. First is, how do we approach these people, or what do you suggest do we approach these people? Because somebody that's involved directly with Mark Davis and Rick Warren, who everybody knows his name, he's the teacher in town, and he's in really deep with these people, and this is after I had spoke with him personally and presented him information from, help me if you will, Dr. Stan, the Leslie woman back east.
Sarah Leslie.
Right, yeah, I presented him her information. So aside from prayer, what do you recommend that perhaps some verses that we can bring out?
All right, fine. The question then, Warren, is how do we approach good people who have been taken in by this whole idea? After all, this is going to make your church grow. There's going to be a lot of money. The church is going to become very prosperous. It's going to have so many people coming. So how do you point out that maybe we're really not pushing the kingdom? After all, don't we determine the kingdom by the number of people in church?
It's very, very difficult. And I noticed this as I was surrounded by people. When I was reading The Purpose-Driven Life, I was with people that were in a purpose-driven study group. There were churches that had banners outside their houses. Hospice patients that I was working with had Rick Warren's book on their coffee table. Rick Warren's book was like number one on the New York Times bestseller list. As I saw things in the book, I would tell my friends, I would say, hey, look, in this chapter, Rick Warren is nonchalantly referring to Bernie Siegel. That was in chapter 3. And I said, Bernie Siegel's a New Age leader. He's on the board of advisors of Jerry Jampolsky's Attitudinal Healing Center for the Course in Miracles. He was one of the first ones that endorsed Neil Donald Walsh, a New Age leader, his Conversations with God book. And I would bring these things up, and people just, they didn't seem to really, it didn't register. And I realized, you cannot just make little, simple, kind of like arguments. People just don't seem to hear them. And the answer to your question, this is a funny thing to say, but the reason I wrote my book was so that people could follow this whole thing through. And right now, I'm realizing people are giving my book, Deceived on Purpose, to people like the ones you're talking about, and saying, could you please read this? Because it's very logical. It goes through the whole process of how warped so much of this purpose-driven life is in terms of the New Age. There's an overlay. So I want to state right away that I made a decision as I wrote the book that I was never going to take royalties for this book. I do not make any profit from this book. I'm not profiting off of Rick Warren's popularity. So I would just say, I think, Dr. Stan, aren't you carrying the book?
Yes, we do, and I think it's an excellent book. In fact, we just got 20 of them. We think it's a very important book, Dale. I don't know a better way to try to reach people. There's no easy way to discuss this because it's so appealing, and after all, everybody wants to be successful, don't they?
Okay, yeah, and one quick question, and I'll take it off the air, is how do you perceive the system is related to the Alpha program with Nikki Gumbel? Thank you very much.
All right. Do you know anything about the Alpha program?
You know, I haven't spent a lot of time on that, but I think all of these things are working to break down traditional scripture to, like you said earlier, to water things down and to bring us into actually what the New Age is calling a new gospel and a new spirituality. This is the new language. So I think you probably will have other guests that can speak more authoritatively about the Alpha program, but I think that so much of this is dovetailing and is breaking down tradition and bringing in the new.
All right, fine. Let's go to Jonathan calling from Jackson, Mississippi. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi.
Have a question?
Just a comment. I want to thank you for talking on this subject. Both churches that my parent and I go to have had the purpose-driven life in it, and I think it's, you're exposing it as a real Trojan horse of the New Age movement, and I'm really concerned about this.
I share your concern, and But, Jonathan, you have to have the facts, and fortunately we have a number of things that really will help you to be able to address it. I think Warren has done a tremendous job in this book. I'll have to admit, when I started reading, I didn't see how he's going to pull it all together, but he sure does a great job. It's called Deceived on Purpose, and we got a 4-tape set on the Church Growth Movement. Great
uh-huh.
video on the Church Growth Movement. And, of course, we can tell you how, if you want to get John MacArthur's 5-hour video, Does Truth Matter? Or Does Truth Matter? And I want to tell you, truth does matter. And we're turning away from the truth of the gospel, and we're confusing the Christians. Why would anybody intentionally introduce 15 different translations of the Bible? Have you ever asked that?
Yes.
I want to thank you so much for calling in, Jonathan.
Thank
Just
you.
Keep right on listening.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Warren Smith. We're talking about his book, Deceived on Purpose. And I think that it really, as you read through this book, and then you begin to see how subtle this whole thing is. This is not something that, you're going to be able to just have something jump right out off at you. But you realize this is very well thought through. We are just beginning to change the message of the Bible just a little bit. And there are all these slick phrases and all these slick techniques and a lot of management techniques, but it's all about manipulation and control and be changing the message of the Scriptures. So as you, of course, have gone through this and you point out to how they use within the message this one Bible translation, which Rick Warren refers to so often, many of these New Age phrases, and then you point out that Robert Schuller, in his ministry, really has a great deal of association and support for New Age ministries. Would that be a fair statement to make?
Well, he certainly, having Course in Miracles groups meeting on the Crystal Cathedral campus says everything. The fact that the secretaries, at the Crystal Cathedral were referring people to a New Age place to get the Course in Miracles. I want to make a comment on this young man that just called in. He referred to the as Trojan horse.
Trojan horse, right.
And I want to read just a paragraph from my book because I think he hit it right on the nose. I said, as a self-proclaimed change agent, it seemed that one of Rick Warren's unstated purposes was to mainstream Robert Schuller's teachings into the more traditional Bible-based wing of the church. Many believers who seem to trust Rick Warren ironically do not trust Robert Schuller. Rick Warren's magic seems to be that he's able to make the teachings of Robert Schuller palatable to believers who would have otherwise never have accepted these same teachings had they come directly from Schuller himself. So I think he's exactly right, and I think the average person reading Rick Warren's book would never identify Schuller because he does not mention Robert Schuller once in his book.
You wonder why he would not mention Robert Schuller when Robert Schuller mentions him. And yet, of course, we know, of course, that he had gone to many of Robert Schuller's courses. You would think he would give him some credit for the ideas and techniques and approaches.
Well, what Rick Warren did at the beginning of his book is he gave sort of a tip of the hat to the hundreds of teachers who had influenced his life. But I think Rick Warren, he's a very shrewd, I think he's almost like the CEO of Saddleback. He's, as you mentioned, the Peter Drucker connection. I know you had Sarah Leslie on your program talking about her monograph, The Pied Pipers of Purpose. And I think that this is just something that Rick Warren knows. He knows that if he talks very much about Schuller...
You're going to have to hold that thought. We're going to have to let you go. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and this is the time when we have to remind our listeners all across America that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we really are dependent upon those of you who listen to our programs and believe that we have something important to say, who would agree with me that we are truly involved in a spiritual battle being played out on a political and ideological and cultural battlefield, and that behind everything going on politically are spiritual forces. We're being drawn into a war in the Middle East by powerful spiritual forces and I believe that many of the people who are involved and are manipulating us into this war really have no idea the implications spiritually and biblically of what's happening. Well, under any circumstances, if you agree with this, we hope many of you will seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And when you join, of course, you get our four best tapes of the month. You get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you're helping us as do what we do 5 hours every day, reaching out across America by radio, by internet, by satellite, and certainly by the shortwave. And we do have a fairly good outreach at the present time, and that outreach is growing. And with your help, why, it'll continue to grow. So if you'd like to become part of the Radio Liberty family, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you're interested in more information on the purpose-driven life, the purpose-driven church, why, let me suggest the book we've been talking about, Deceived on Purpose, The New Age Implications of the Purpose-Driven Church by Warren Smith. That's just Deceived on Purpose, and give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Now, we also have an excellent four-tape set on the church growth movement. We have a four-tape set on the apostate church. We have an excellent video called Diaprax in the Church, which goes into the occult foundation of so much of what's going on today. And, of course, gets back into Madame Blavatsky and Alice Bailey and how these teachings are manifest in the purpose-driven church. And the average individual doesn't understand. They don't understand the New Age. They don't understand the other dimension. And if they don't, why, of course, they're going to go blithely along with this, because it's fun, it's exciting. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be part of a movement that's going to change the entire world? And that's exactly what Rick Warren says. They're going to change the world, and I believe that they will, unless God intervenes. But I think it's important that you understand, and we try to get as many people as possible to understand that they cannot sacrifice their faith and the absolutes of the Bible just to go along with what's more expedient or to be associated with your friends. In fact, if you study what the people in the purpose-driven church tell you, they know that if you have 7 friends in a church, you will not leave that church. No matter what happens, no matter how bad things get, no matter how you may be offended by the music, no matter how you may be offended by the message, why, you won't leave the church. Because it's all based upon manipulation. And that, of course, is where Peter Drucker comes in. And you must understand, they know exactly what they're doing. It's all about management. It's all about control. And that has very little to do with Christianity. So if you'd like to get that material, remember our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Deceived on Purpose, the Church Growth Movement, the four-tape set, the Apostate Church, the video Diaprax in the Church. And then let me also, of course, mention the four-tape set we have on the wisdom of Malachi Martin. It's really for Catholics, but it goes into the satanic influence there. We have another book for Catholics. It's called Lucifer's Lodge, and it goes into the satanic actual cells within the Catholic Church, made up of pedophiles, and it's a fascinating insight into what's going on. The forces of darkness are working throughout the Christian Church today. Remember the meeting we're going to have. It's going to be on November 6th here in the North Shore of Monterey Bay, an all-day session. And, of course, you're up in the Great Northwest. Let me point out that there are going to be Institutes of the Constitution there. Call 509-891-7428. That's 509-821-7428 or 509-326-0171. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, and, of course, the views of our callers. We welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Recently we had a series of interviews with Carol Matriciana, who makes videos, and one of her latest videos is called The Gods of Entertainment, and it goes into the background of course, Mel Gibson's film, the Passion, and of course the background of all the pressure that was put on him by Hollywood to keep him from making the film and then to keep him from getting it distributed. But one of the interesting interviews is with a Hollywood director or producer. I'm not sure what the gentleman does, but he's been working in Hollywood for a long time. He's a Christian. And he was talking about the purpose of Hollywood, which most people think is to make money or to entertain. And his impression was no. The purpose of Hollywood is to destroy Christianity. Why would anybody want to do that? Because Christianity is the very foundation of this nation. Christianity is the very foundation of Western civilization. And if you destroy the Christian beliefs of the people in this country, you destroy Western civilization. You destroy America. Well, of course, the devil has had a hard time destroying Christianity from without. So what would the alternative be? Why, he would try to get inside. Now, I'm not suggesting for one minute that Rick Warren or Robert Schuller really even understand the implications of what they're doing. I do not know what is in their heart. But I will say that what they are doing is certainly very destructive to the faith of the people of this country. Because the more Bible translations you introduce, the more confusion you introduce, and especially when you begin to bring in Bible translations that change the Word of God. And, a lot of people are very, very critical of the King James Version. Oh, we've got to get away from that. But what they have done with each new translation is just drop a little here and a little there. For instance, if we had a gentleman call the other day, and he was using the NIV to teach young people about, God. And, of course, they didn't want to get into things like the blood of Christ, and they didn't want to get into a lot of theology. They just sort of wanted to know the story. But what I should have asked him was, what are you teaching these young people? What are you going to teach them about Lucifer? Because in the NIV, they've expunged any mention of Lucifer or Lucifer being thrown down from heaven. That's completely taken out of the newer translations of the Bible. In fact, the only Bible you'll find that in is the King James Version. And then, of course, they've taken a lot of versions out of the more modern translations of the Bible. Why? Well, they came from the Alexandrian text. But, of course, the people who were using those were Westcott and Hort. And they were deeply involved in the occult, and yet the average minister has no idea about that at all. And this is one of the big problems we have, is that our ministers are not being trained in the true nature of spiritual warfare. Why don't you pick up the story there? Warren, we've just got a minute before we got to go to the first break, but go ahead.
Well, you know, I think one of the things that really troubled me, it was one thing for him to have so many, for Rick Warren to have so many different Bible versions, but he actually discourages people from reading the King James. He says, quote, read scripture from a newer translation. With all the wonderful translations and paraphrases available today, there is no legitimate reason for complicating the good news with 400-year-old English. Using the King James Version creates an unnecessary cultural barrier. Clarity is more important than poetry. I was in the New Age, and some godly Christian woman gave me a King James Bible when I was in the New Age. The King James Bible helped me to get saved, so I don't know what Rick Warren's talking about.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. I guess this evening, Rick Warren, of course, will take your calls from
Please, Warren Smith.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's such an easy thing to do, go from Rick Warren to Warren Smith, right?
You know, Dr. Stan, I have a pastor friend. His name is Mike Warren, and I'm going to speak at his church. So Mike Warren is going to have Warren Smith come and speak about Rick Warren. So it does get a little complicated.
Well, our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. If you'd like to give us a call, if you have any thoughts one way or the other. But I think this is such a very, very important issue. And one of the things that really disturbs me as I read about Rick Warren is he has a plan not simply for a church or for church management or for church growth, but doesn't he plan to change the world?
Yeah, he has his peace plan. It's a five-step peace plan. And the thing that really troubled me is that I'd already read the New Age peace plan that had been laid out by New Age leader Neil Donald Walsh. And his peace plan suggests that the world can be saved from all these crises if we all adopt a new spirituality that says that God is in everyone and everything. Of course, with Rick Warren's quoting the New Century Version Bible saying that God is in everything, instead of contending for the faith and pointing out the faults in Neil Donald Walsh's peace plan, Rick Warren's actually proposing his own five-step peace plan without contending for the faith and giving the New Age pretty much what they want. This is an interesting quote. Neil Donald Walsh, again, he is the man who wrote Conversations with God, a book that rode on the top of the New York Times bestseller list for 2.5 years. Conversations with God, he purports that God has told them that the world needs a new spirituality to save itself. Walsh wrote, quote, "The universe," and this is in my book, "the universe does nothing by accident. You can change the course of human history. This is not an exaggeration." Rick Warren has stated, "You are not a part of Saddleback Church by accident. I say this without fear of exaggeration. God is going to use you and all of us at Saddleback to change history." They're saying the same thing, and what troubles me is that pastors who should be protecting the flock are leading the flock into a spiritual trap. They're not contending for the faith. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, Apostle Paul said, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Unfortunately, evangelical leaders, local pastors, are not contending for the faith by exposing these parallel views and thoughts, and we are, as a result, walking right into this trap of the false Christ who is setting up his version of world Christianity, and it is a very insidious version that has nothing to do with the Holy Bible.
Well, I certainly concur with that, and we'll be back in just a moment. Okay, Dr. Stan, and of course, if you're out there across America listening to us, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And we're talking about the purpose-driven church, the purpose-driven life, the movement that is sweeping across Christendom today. And, of course, while our attention is focused on what's happening halfway around the world in Iraq, I believe that the church is being dramatically changed here in America. And I know many people have been to the training, whether it be at Bill Hybels Church or at Saddleback Church, and they're totally enthralled with it. And they become very angry if anybody suggests that they might even question what this is about. Oh, this is wonderful, you know, the excitement, the enthusiasm. We are going to change the world. And I believe they're going to change the world. I believe that they're going to change the faith as well, though. And I don't know what's wrong with the old faith. I don't know what's wrong with the old theology. But they seem to want to do away with that. In fact, I don't even know what's wrong with the old music. And although I know that Warren is not an expert on music, the old music, the old hymns, have a great deal of doctrine in them, a great deal of theology in them. The new praise songs are a mantra, repetition over and over again, sort of like you would if you were going to go to a yoga or if you want to put yourself into a trance, repeat the same phrase over and over and again in the name of a praise song. and Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. It's sort of like with the many times a Catholic will use their rosary beads and the same thing over and over again. But I'm not sure that this is necessarily advantageous. Well, if you're out there, you agree or disagree, why give us a call here? And we're talking about some of these ideas. And one of the things that we see in the book that you talk about is this idea of God's dream. And yet, of course, don't many of the New Agers talk about this dream, this whole idea of somehow dreaming is going to change the world?
Well, it's not so much even the act of dreaming. It's this idea. Rick Warren, right as I was reading his book, a new book came out by Bruce Wilkinson, the author that had written about the prayer of Jabez, and his book was called The Dream Giver. I went out and I got the book, and I started reading what Bruce Wilkinson was suggesting. And he was suggesting that everybody has a dream in their heart, and that dream is really God's dream, and that you need to get in touch with God's dream. And as I read his stuff on dreams, I went, oh no, this is Robert Schuller again. He actually said that we all have a big dream with a capital B and a capital D. And I had traced that back to Robert Schuller in 1977. I was now accumulating a stack of Robert Schuller books. Must have had about 25 of them, because I kept being driven back to Robert Schuller by Rick Warren and now by Bruce Wilkinson. So this whole idea that God has a dream for the world, and this dream has to do with purpose. And the idea of God's dream and purpose, again, go back to Robert Schuller. Robert Schuller, as a matter of fact, recently in a book that was just a couple years ago, it was an autobiography, he said, I'm dreaming a bold, impossible dream that positive-thinking believers in God will rise above the illusions that our sectarian religions have imposed on the world, and that leaders of the major faiths will rise above doctrinal idiosyncrasies, choosing not to focus on disagreements, but rather to transcend divisive dogmas, to work together to bring peace and prosperity and hope to the world. Dr. Stan, you know, in the book of Daniel 8:25, it's made real clear that Antichrist, when he comes, is going to destroy wonderfully. It's a very incredible term. Wonderfully meaning it's going to look so good. And it says about Antichrist, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. I think when Rick Warren talks about a peace plan, and he's talking about God's dream, and he's using Schuller terminology, and Schuller's talking about a peace that's going to rise above doctrinal idiosyncrasies and divisiveness among faiths, I think we're getting into a very dangerous ground, and we need to specify what we're talking about. But I think this whole idea of God's dream has nothing to do with the Bible. It has everything to do with Robert Schuller. And interestingly, if you go back into the Alice Bailey teachings, you will find the term God's dream over and over and over again.
Well, you know, one of the things I noticed is there's this capitalizing of the D in the dream. Now, if you go back and you read Mary Baker Eddy's writings, she would always use these phrases, and there would be certain terms she would want to deify. In other words, they became God, and you would always capitalize those. And if you read occultic writings, as I do a great deal, the writings of, say, Albert Pike, why, he will, of course, use those capitals, and this makes this a divine idea. In other words, the dream becomes divine. God, you would capitalize. Christ, you would capital C. A dream, God, you would not capitalize the D unless this itself was a deification. And you will find in all occult writings, specifically in the original writings of Mary Baker Eddy and of Alice Bailey and of Madame Blavatsky, but I'm so surprised that they would capitalize the D in God's dream to deify that. Now, the average individual would not recognize what they're doing, that sort of look at it and pass right over it without realizing this is occult writing.
And again, it was capitalized by Robert Schuller back in 1977, this whole idea of God's dream. Now, it's interesting, Dr. Stan, that I went down immediately and got Bruce Wilkinson's book, The Dream Giver, and I read it. And just several days later, he shows up on Robert Schuller's Hour of Power, and he hails Schuller at that point in time as the patriarch of dreams and pays a lot of homage to Schuller. That same day that he was televised on the Hour of Power, he appeared at Saddleback Church with Rick Warren. Rick Warren, just I think a day or two later, announced that his five-step peace plan was calling it God's Dream for You and the World. I think what people need to understand is that there's a lot of confluence going on here. There's a lot of merging of terms. There's no differentiation between the language. There's a lot of reference back to things that dip into Hinduism, into Alice Bailey. One of the most amazing things is that while all this is going on, I don't know if you happen to notice, but on PBS, Wayne Dyer, who is one of the New Age leaders, he is a very close associate of Neil Donald Walsh and the Global Renaissance Alliance of New Age Leaders. He has a show on PBS. They're actually offering his book, The Power of Intention. If you look up intention in the dictionary, a synonym is purpose, the power of purpose. He's teaching everybody the principles of the New Age and the New Spirituality, power of intention, power of purpose. Meanwhile, at the same time, Rick Warren has signed on to be a judge on the Power of Purpose essay contest for the John Templeton Foundation, Templeton being a New Age sympathizer who believes that we have a shared divinity. Humanity has a shared divinity with God, that God is in all of us. And Rick Warren is actually judging this contest. The winner was just announced on September 20th, and the winner in this contest that Rick Warren helped to judge is a man who has a basic New Age organization, and one of the links on this man's website, he has a thing called the Self-Knowledge Symposium. One of the links is to the Theosophical Society, and they talk about Helena Blavatsky. So, you know, here we are with Wayne Dyer, a New Age leader, talking about the power of purpose on TV. They're actually signing people up to PBS by offering his New Age teachings. He refers to the Course in Miracles. He was on after September 11th. Rick Warren is with the Templeton Organization. Neil Donald Walsh has referred to John Templeton as one of his role models, had a recent conversation with him. Templeton is actually suggesting that we all open ourselves up to new revelations, which is exactly what Neil Donald Walsh and the New Age leaders are doing. And meanwhile, nobody's clarifying any of this. And this is my contention. Again, we're not calling Rick Warren a New Ager, but we're saying this is a very undiscerning man who is not protecting the flock, and he's outing Robert Schuller teachings. He's not being honest about the fact that he's using Robert Schuller teachings. And why are we concerned about Robert Schuller? Because this man, Robert Schuller, is basically talking about the Course in Miracles. He's referring to Jerry Jampolsky as a believer in God. He's been talking about Jerry Jampolsky for years. He even mentioned Jampolsky in a sermon this year. He referred to him as a gentle giant. It's an amazing story. I had communication with the Crystal Cathedral back in 1994, and they assured me they were not doing any Course in Miracles stuff anymore. And they went to great lengths to make that clear. They admitted that, yes, there were groups going on, but it's not happening anymore. 1996, there's a video that I found last, as I was writing this book, was in Barnes & Noble, and on a 1996 video, Robert Schuller talks about Jerry Jampolsky, and he says, quote, he went into medical school, became a very brilliant medical doctor, but he had problems himself, as all human beings do. Then he became a believer in God. That's a long story. As I mentioned earlier, Jerry Jampolsky is a proponent of A Course in Miracles, has been since 1975, has always been in the New Age, and I just couldn't believe that 2 years after they told me that he wasn't involved in any way, he's declaring Jerry Jampolsky to be a believer in God.
Well, he is a believer in God, but the question is, what God?
Well, that's exactly
not the God of the Bible.
That's exactly right, Stan. And what needed to be said was that the God that he believes in is the God of the New Age, the God of A Course in Miracles. And Jerry Jampolsky, by the way, seems to be a very nice man. He has probably done a lot of nice things for people, but he's still subscribing to teachings that say that the journey to the cross should be the last useless journey. There's no sin. The Course in Miracles says the atonement is the final lesson that man need learn, for it teaches him that never having sinned, he has no need of salvation. It's just so
undiscerning. Would you repeat that again? Never having sinned.
Never having sinned, he has no need of salvation.
Now that's certainly the antithesis of Christian teaching. But the problem is that we find the false teaching of the church. What better way to destroy Christianity? Not by a direct attack from without, but from within. We'll be back in just a moment, and when we return, we hope many of you, if you'd like to question, if you agree or disagree, give us a call. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. I keep coming back to the church growth movement. because I think it's the greatest danger to the Christian church, both Catholic and Protestant, and to our nation that we face today. Well, Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, our guest is Warren Smith, and of course we're talking about his book, Deceived on Purpose, The New Age Implications of the Purpose-Driven Church. And of course, I just noticed the way that they talk about the dream giver. Who wrote about the dream giver? Gave me a big dream. Who wrote that?
That was Bruce Wilkinson.
Okay, fine. And of course, if you look at page 110 of the book, why dream, capital D, giver, capital G, gave me a big dream. And of course, you capitalized the B, capital D. For our listeners out there, you have to learn how to read occultic writings, because one of the ways that they communicate among themselves is by how they capitalize those certain phrases. And of course, you deify a word, and of course people then who understand the secret of course recognize what you're saying and recognize what you are basically doing with that. Now, of course, there's so much in your book as you just take us through this whole thing, and of course then transpose Rick Warren's teaching on those of Robert Schuller, and I think you do a very, very effective job of accomplishing that. What sort of response are you getting from people who are reading your book across America?
Well, it's interesting that you ask, because I did a show earlier today on VCY America out of Milwaukee, and I did a show yesterday with them, and they called me today, and they ordered 300 books. Apparently, people are calling in from all over because they're desperate for information to give to their pastors, to give to their fellow church members. While we did the show in Bernie, California, the station there shut down the program because apparently they were sympathetic to and not open to hearing what, you know, I had to say. But a couple of the people that lived in Bernie called VCY America and said, they just shut the station down, but can you tell us how to get the book? So people are getting through. And I think one of the things that I think Rick Warren, one of the big mistakes I think that he's made is that he says, don't criticize what God is blessing. And, you know, that's a very dangerous thing to say. The Apostle Paul told the Bereans, you know, basically he told them that they could ask him anything, and he wanted them to check whatever he was saying by Scripture, to pray and to check anything by Scripture. And I think to say, don't criticize what God is blessing, I think it's a huge mistake to assume that because something's big and because something's popular, that God is blessing it. I do not think God is blessing statements that Rick Warren makes, like the Bible says God rules everything and is everywhere and is in everything. I don't think God blesses his reference of Bernie Siegel, a New Age leader who has a spirit guide named George who advises him in his life. And Rick Warren uses Bernie Siegel as sort of an entry point to talking about purpose. And that's right after he puts Isaiah and Job down as two men who are without purpose and without God. Very, very dangerous. So I think this idea of shutting down criticism is what's troubling a lot of the people, and those are the comments that we're getting, that people try to talk about this in their church and they end up being sort of shunned and even escorted out of the church if they don't agree and follow their leaders. This idea of just following your leaders, even though they may be making some mistakes, is very dangerous. And this whole idea of not criticizing what God is blessing, signing covenants that you won't criticize. Criticism doesn't have to be bad. It doesn't have to be negative. It's the way that we learn things and the way that we discuss things. I think if Rick Warren just closed up some of these loopholes that he has, I mean, if he would start exposing the New Age and just maybe say, you know, I followed Robert Schuller a little too closely and I've made some mistakes.
Hold that thought right there.
Sure.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Warren Smith. And, of course, we're talking about Rick Warren, but our guest is Warren Smith. And we're talking about, of course, this changing of the basic thrust of the Christian church. And Warren was saying that one of the things that Rick Warren says is that you shouldn't criticize things that God is blessing. In other words, if you're successful, you shouldn't criticize it. Well, I don't think that success is necessarily a sign that God is blessing it. There may be a blessing, but it may not be coming from God either. Certainly many of the things that come from the dark side will do very, very well. Look at some of the movies that come out of Hollywood, and look how well they do financially. Look how they are applauded by our mass media in America. But does that mean they're of God? And I would suggest that the same thing. In fact, I think we have to perhaps question why some of the things that are happening in the church are as successful as they are. Is this really God's blessing? Does this actually, of course, increase our faith in the Lord? Does it bring us back to the Scriptures? Or is there an attack on Christianity that is undermining the very fabric of the traditional religion? And this is my concern, is that this is exactly what we're doing. Now, you were commenting during the break there that Rick Warren said that Isaiah was a man without purpose. Did I understand you correctly?
Yeah, I'll read, you know, what he said. This is from his book, The Purpose-Driven Life. Without God, life has no purpose. And without purpose, life has no meaning. Without meaning, life has no significance or hope. In the Bible, many different people express this hopelessness. Isaiah complained, I've labored to no purpose. I've spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Job said, my life drags by day after hopeless day, and I give up. I'm tired of living. Leave me alone. My life makes no sense. The greatest tragedy is not death, but life without purpose. Then he says, hope is as essential to your life as air and water. You need hope to cope. Dr. Bernie Siegel found he could predict which of his cancer patients would go into remission by asking, do you want to live to be 100? Those with a deep sense of life purpose answered yes, and were the ones most likely to survive. Hope comes from having a purpose. Dr. Stan, you know, I've been a hospice social worker, and I know a lot of people that I worked with that were dying wanted to live to be 100, but that didn't mean that they had a deep sense of life purpose. But the inference that Isaiah and Job had no purpose and were without God, it just doesn't make any sense. And as a matter of fact, Rick Warren does not quote the whole scripture in Isaiah 49:4. He said, his quote that he had in his book, he just said, I have labored to no purpose, I've spent my strength in vain and for nothing. What he left out, the rest of that verse says, yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God. So he definitely affirms his relationship with God. The reason that Isaiah was frustrated, Dr. Stan, is because the religious leaders were leading the people astray, and he was frustrated because they weren't listening to him. And that's the honest way of approaching that. The thing that was really interesting was the reference to Bernie Siegel, who we've mentioned has a spirit guide, and you would never know that. He just says, hope is essential to your life as air and water. You need hope to cope. Dr. Bernie Siegel found it's just nonchalant reference to a key New Age leader. The other thing that really jumped out at me as I did my research and study is his comment saying, hope is essential to your life as air and water. You need hope to cope. I found this quote from Robert Schuller in 1982 in his book, Self-Esteem, The New Reformation. Schuller says, our very survival as a species depends on hope, and without hope, we will lose the faith that we can cope. It's almost the same thing that Rick Warren saying 20 years later. Interestingly, Neil Donald Walsh's God, his New Age God, actually commends Robert Schuller for his self-esteem theology and his emphasis on a new Reformation. He actually commends Schuller and calls him an extraordinary minister, and he refers and quotes from this very same book, Self-Esteem and New Reformation, that Rick Warren is apparently pulling this same quote from, which is, hope is essential to your life as air and water. You need hope to cope. And there's that Schuller rhyme that's in there, too. You need hope to cope. The only other explanation I could come up with is that Rick Warren has just attended so many Robert Schuller seminars that Schuller might present that, and it's almost become a part of Rick Warren's vocabulary. I don't know that he even knows how much Robert Schuller is in him and how much is coming out in his teachings. But I found just reference after reference, men that Schuller quotes, Rick Warren quotes, phrases and terms that Schuller uses that are significant and idiosyncratic to him, Rick Warren uses. And I've tried to document this in my book so that people will be able to present this coherently to somebody who's, you know, involved with this stuff.
Well, I really think that, of course, if you will, to get it, you almost have to sit down and read the whole book through it. You can take isolated things out of it. You can raise a few questions, but unless you can get somebody to sit down and read the book, and when they read the book, then they begin to see how this all ties together. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with our special guest, Warren Smith, and talking about his book, of course, Deceived on Purpose. We will welcome your calls when we get back at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We're talking with Warren Smith about what is really happening in the church today. And, you know, I think that there are people, we certainly get this response from our listeners, people all across America are wanting to know answers to the questions that are posed. Why are these terrible things going on? And, of course, what can we do to reach people more efficiently? And I really think it's so vitally important that people understand that everything is changing. The world is changing. And we really, of course, need to have people understand that there are changes in the church. Now, the church has always given stability. The scriptures have given stability. We learn many of those wonderful verses from the Bible when we were young, whether it be the 23rd Psalm or the other scriptures, Ephesians 6:8. But then as we begin to take on new translations of the Bible, and then more new translations of the Bible, and pretty soon, why, we begin to find that the whole meaning of so many of these things has changed. I think the wording, the phraseology of the King James Version is beautiful. This is how I was raised. If somebody, of course, a church I go to uses the New American Standard, but the further you get away, the further you progress, the more you get into some of the translations that are associated with Westcott and Hort, and then, of course, we get into things like the Message that really has so much New Age phraseology in it. But unless people are discerning, unless they have good leadership, they're not going to realize what's happening. Don't you think that's true?
Yeah, I think that the thing that really jumped out at me was Rick Warren discouraging. I mean, he's using 15 different Bible versions, one of them being this very, very poor paraphrase called The Message, and yet he's discouraging people from using the King James. I'd just like to point out that because I had the King James in my possession, because this woman just took such pity on me with my New Age belief system. I was actually working, and I was visiting a client's mom, and she asked me what I believed, and I started talking all about A Course in Miracles and telling her all these things, and she was obviously a godly Christian widow, and she went in another room and came back with this big blue King James Bible, and she said, "Would you please take this as a gift from me?" I didn't want to hurt her feelings, and I noticed that it was a nice blue color that would match my Course in Miracles book, so I took it. But that book was able to explain to me the things that I needed to understand. And in particular, I'll just give an example. Because we all were taught by the Course in Miracles and by our New Age teachings that we were all Christ, we were all God, we were all one, when Jesus, in the King James, Matthew 24, 4-5, when Jesus said, "Take heed..."
Hold that thought for just a moment. Okay, Rick is, of course, Warren is actually quoting from the King James Bible. Go ahead and get the quote.
Yeah, the quote in Matthew 24, it says, Jesus said, "Take heed that no man deceives you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." I was able to recognize that Jesus was warning me about me. He was warning me about the New Age, because I was coming in his name saying I was Christ. It's an incredible scripture that just laid it open and showed me how I was the very person he was warning everybody to watch out for. That helped me in my conversion. Listen to what Eugene Peterson says in his paraphrase of that same scripture. He says, Jesus said, "Watch out for doomsday deceivers. Many leaders are going to show up with forged identities claiming I am Christ, the Messiah. They will deceive a lot of people." Well, I would never have recognized myself in that scripture. He's saying, watch out for doomsday deceivers. That might be you, Dr. Stan. And many leaders are going to show up with forged identities. This thing can be, the whole New Age can slip under the radar with a translation like that. And I would never have
become a Christian if I was dependent upon something like the message. So what's so ironic is that the purpose-driven church is saying that they're reaching out to the unchurched and to the unbelievers, but they're giving no information about the New Age. And New Agers would never recognize themselves in the message, whereas here I was, an unbeliever with the King James Bible, and the King James Bible described everything that was going on. And yet Rick Warren says, don't read the King James Bible. It all seems very backward, and it's very dangerous, and I think in the name of approaching the world on world's terms, we've become too much like the world and are in danger of becoming the world.
Well, you know, the thing that really impressed me in church that I attended was how this was done very, very subtly, as the church changed, but nobody told us what was happening. And because many of us might have objected, you know, one day the minister comes, and instead of having a coat and tie and suit on, why, he's taken off the suit coat. And then, of course, after a while, he takes off his tie, and then pretty soon he's coming with a sports shirt and trousers. But this is done intentionally. It's, rather than tell people what we're doing, it is a matter of planned deceit, and I don't think that's right. I think that a minister should be above deceit. He should be above trying to trick people into accepting something, and then they do this with the music as well, and I know that you don't purport to be an expert on the music, but the music changes so very, very slowly that people don't understand what's happened till one day they come and they suddenly realize that they're listening to rock music in the service. And then, of course, the church begins to change as far as its teaching is concerned and putting on special courses. What the average individual doesn't understand is this has all been determined ahead of time using Peter Drucker's techniques of how to manage people and how to control people. And, of course, Robert Schuller's ideas are infiltrated. I think these are the two main architects of this whole church growth movement. But the individual, the average person in the pew, is being tricked, is being manipulated. And Christianity is not a matter of manipulation. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. It is not a matter of being manipulated by the structure of the church.
Well, I think that what you're saying is true, and I know that one day I went to church and all the hymnals had been taken away. They just disappeared, and I think that's what you're talking about. There's just, nobody was consulted. It just happened. Ironically, when I came into the church, you know, I wanted to sing the old hymns. There's a lot of doctrine in the hymns, and a lot of the praise songs were nice. They made you feel good, but they didn't really have a lot of doctrine in them. So the thing that's interesting, though, is it getting back to Schuller being the architect and one of the chief forces here, there's a lot of talk about a new reformation. What's interesting is that Benjamin Krem talks about a reforming of the Christian church. Maitreya says that when he comes, if he does, he's going to come with 12 masters of wisdom. One of them is going to be Jesus. But it's not Jesus Christ. It's the Master Jesus. The Master Jesus, according to Krem, will lead the Christian church in their devotion and worship of Maitreya, the Christ. He is the Master Jesus, according to Krem. Isn't it interesting that in the message, the word Lord is dropped from Jesus almost universally, and he is referred to by Peterson as Master Jesus?
Does he really? Because I haven't heard the message. So they're using the straight New Age terminology.
Yeah, let me give you a quote. The King James translation of Revelation 22, 20-21 at the very end of the Bible says, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." The message paraphrase is, "Yes, come, Master Jesus. The grace of the Master Jesus be with you all. Oh, yes." This is so dangerous because it's setting up this idea that Jesus is just, you know, I mean, Jesus was a master, but in the Bible he's always referred to as Lord and Savior. He was never referred to as Master Jesus. And interestingly, Maitreya refers to himself as the teacher. Now, Jesus is only referred to as the teacher one time in the Gospels. In the message, he's referred to as the teacher over 25 times. The message is actually setting up a template that could be a platform for someone, a prototype of, you know, the false Christ like Maitreya. And there's just so many things that are so dangerous about these things. And the most dangerous thing is nobody's talking about the New Age and the new spirituality and all these parallel terms for some reason. And I wrote this, we did interviews on my last book, Dr. Stan, Reinventing Jesus Christ, the New Gospel. And I talked about this. I said, there is a very deafening silence in Christendom amongst Christian leaders about what is going on the other side in deception. Somehow or another, they're just not talking about it. In a book called From the Ashes, A Spiritual Response to the Attack on America, Neil Donald Walsh, in the midst of articles also by Chuck Colson, Jerry Jenkins, Bill Hybels, Rick Warren, and Billy Graham and others, Neil Donald Walsh, a New Age leader, he said, we must change ourselves, we must change the beliefs upon which our behaviors are based, we must create a different reality, build a new society, we must do so with new spiritual truths, we must preach a new gospel, its healing message summarized in two sentences, we are all one. Ours is not a better way, ours is merely another way. Then he says, this 15-word message delivered from every lectern and pulpit, from every rostrum and platform, could change everything overnight. I challenge every priest, every minister, every rabbi, and religious cleric to preach this. He's literally challenging Rick Warren, Billy Graham, and all the rest to preach that, and there was no response, no public response. What a great opportunity to contend for the faith. And then just a year later, Rick Warren is hearing Neil Donald Walsh, if he hasn't heard him, then he should be hearing him say, Neil Donald Walsh said that God, his God, is saying, it will take an unprecedented act of courage on a grand scale. You may have to do something virtually unknown in the annals of human history. You may have to give up some of your most sacred beliefs.
Now, who's saying this?
This is Neil Donald Walsh's New Age God saying, "We, in order to achieve peace, in order to achieve oneness, we may have to give up some of our most sacred beliefs." Then he also says, this New Age God who's presenting this new spirituality, he lays down this gauntlet. He says, quote, yet let me make something clear. The era of the single Savior is over. What is needed now is joint action, combined effort, collective co-creation. Then he proposes this new spirituality. What I'm wondering is, how can Christian leaders not respond to a New Age leader and his God saying that the era of the single Savior is over? They're preaching oneness, which says that God is in everyone and everything, and rather than contending for the faith, Rick Warren is saying, the Bible says God rules everything and is everywhere and is in everything. He's opening the door to giving the New Age exactly what they want, walking into the spiritual trap that's being laid by the master deceiver of this world.
Well, I think the tragedy is it's so hard if you really don't understand the New Age, if you do not understand that there is another dimension, if you do not really believe with all your heart that there really are demonic spirits out there that are vying for the souls of men, it's so easy to simply accept things that you wouldn't accept otherwise. In other words, if you don't understand that this whole idea that God is in everyone and everything is a basic New Age tenet, why it really doesn't sound so bad unless somebody points out why it's wrong, why, of course, it will undermine the very tenets of the Christian faith.
Absolutely. Pantheism, God being in everything, has always been, clearly antagonistic to the true teachings of the Bible. So there's some barriers that are being broken down here, and it's really sad, Dr. Stan, to see this happening, and I think that so many people trust leaders like Robert Schuller, so-called leaders like Robert Schuller and Rick Warren, because they're popular and they're big, and I think they forget that Jesus warned that the way to destruction is broad and the way to truth is narrow, and that just because something's big doesn't mean it's necessarily good. Another thing that's interesting is that if you look for the broad way and the narrow way, in Eugene Peterson's The Message, you'll find that it's disappeared. He doesn't have it in there. A lot of stuff about prophecy that it was real clear, like the one that I read that in the King James that helped me to get saved, it has a completely different, meaning. Like when Peterson said, watch out for doomsday deceivers. I mean, that could be turned around someday. I was not really joking when I said, that could be you, Dr. Stan, because that could be turned around, and those of us that are talking about these end-time events could be the ones that they're pointing at and saying, we're the deceivers. And I think it's going to get very tricky down the line, and if you don't have good scripture to back you up, then you're subject to these interpretations by these new Bible versions and by the slick kind of things that are going on where Robert Schuller is saying he's an evangelical minister, and yet he's saying, yes, God is alive, and he is in every single human being. And he's touting Jerry Jampolsky, a New Age leader, but then he shows up at the National Association for Evangelicals this very year and he gives a whole thing all about sin. So people go, oh, well, Robert Schuller's talking about sin. But you have to look at the whole picture. You have to put this all together to realize that Robert Schuller says things that are convenient. And he, when he gets cornered, as he was getting cornered back in the mid-80s with some of his New Age sympathies, when he gets cornered, he kind of backs up and makes adjustments, just like a politician who kind of does the spin and does the tweaking that's necessary to bring him back into a favorable position with the people that are looking to him for leadership.
Well, of course, we have a video, we've mentioned this before, but Robert Schuller is talking to one of the country's leading evangelicals, or evangelists, and Robert Schuller says, well, now, you don't really have to believe in God to get to heaven, do you? And the evangelist says, no, I don't think you have to believe in Christ. You don't have to believe in Christ to get to heaven, I think was the, you don't have to be a Christian, or you don't have to believe in Christ to get to heaven. And Robert Schuller says, oh, I'm just so glad to hear you say that. Well, if you don't have to believe in Christianity or in Christ to get to heaven, then, of course, the whole of Christianity is a lie. And, you know, but the fact that these two prominent ministers would take that sort of a position on international television, when you deny the fact that there's no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ, why, of course, you're denying the basic tenet, the basic essence of what Christianity is all about. And you may agree or you may disagree, but if you disagree, you're certainly not a Christian. So why would Robert Schuller encourage that sort of response and then praise that response? You do not have to believe in Jesus Christ to go to heaven.
I think Robert Schuller, you know, he has a technique, and I think Rick Warren uses it too, which is they'll say two contradictory things. And I'll give you an example. In his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, Rick Warren makes a statement that man is not divine, man is not God, and he uses the term New Age philosophies. I had a friend who actually went to Saddleback Church years ago. He came running over to where I was, and he said, hey, look, you know, you're wrong. There's no New Age implications. Look at what Rick Warren says here. And I stopped him, and I said, I know what you're going to say, and I know where you're going to take me. I want you to go to page 88 first. And I read to him what Rick Warren said. I said, the Bible says about God, he rules everything and is everywhere and is in everything. My friend hung his head. He said, my God, that's pantheism. It just shut down his whole argument. But if you were to say to someone at Saddleback the things that we're saying, they'd say, hey, look in Rick Warren's book. He says that man's not divine, da-da-da-da. But he's opening the door here, and I've noticed this before. There was a man who was a Christian leader in Colorado Springs, and he was praising Robert Mueller, who I'm sure you're very familiar with, at the former, you know, higher up at the UN.
Assistant Secretary General of the United Nations.
There you go.
For many, many years.
Yes. And he was, this same man was on in the World Future Society with Barbara Marx Hubbard. This is a Christian leader. And a number of us were writing articles and talking about his relationship and questioning it. So he issues a statement. He says, you got to watch out for the New Age. And everybody went, see, he's telling you, watch out for the New Age. And he's warning you to watch out for the New Age. It's just, that doesn't go very deep. What we have to go much deeper than these statements like Robert Schuller talking about sin at the National Association of Evangelicals. You have to look at the whole record. And I actually called the Course in Miracles Distribution Center, where one of Schuller's longtime ex-employees, the guy was actually head of the New Hope Counseling Center at the Crystal Cathedral for years, and he left there and went over to the Course in Miracles Center. I called there wondering if he was still there. You know, that was like just last November. And when I called, this man answered the phone. I couldn't believe it. And I started talking to him about Schuller, A Course in Miracles, and a number of other things. And he said, yes, he said conservative members of the Crystal Cathedral were getting upset. They put pressure on Schuller, and he kind of basically backed off. But then he hesitated, and he said, but you know, Robert Schuller did workshops with Jerry Jampolsky in Hawaii. I said, you're kidding. He said, no. So, I mean, it's just like a politician. You do what's convenient. When you look at what Schuller is saying these days, here's another quote from Schuller. He says, as the century as well as the millennium drew to a close, I was astounded to see how much my perspective had shifted. In my early years, my world was Sioux County, Iowa, and the Dutch Reformed Church. But now I had a global awareness. Going somewhere from nowhere had begun to take on a whole new meaning. I was moving further and further into a mindset of religious inclusivity. And that's exactly what you were talking about in that interview with that leading evangelist. Moving into a religious inclusivity where we're going to all, not us, but where they want everyone to agree that God is in everyone. And if you don't believe in that, they call you exclusivist, self-centered, and separate. And so this is where we're heading. There's a choice that's going to be made down the line. They're trying to take the term Christ away from Jesus. It's not Jesus Christ, it's the Master Jesus, who is going to help everyone see the Christ who is reflected in everyone in humanity. It's very perverse, Dr. Stan, and the Bible lays all of this out. All of this stuff is in the Scriptures. All the stuff I needed to know about the spiritual battle, about Jesus' death on the cross and his defeat of Satan, death and evil and sin on the cross, it's all there, but people just aren't reading the Scriptures. They're listening to teachers who have a watered-down version.
But I think the other thing is, Warren, is that you come from the New Age. You understand the New Age terminology. You understand the occultic approach to writing, and the use of capitals to give divinity to phrases and words. The average individual doesn't. He's never been warned. And there's, other than a few ministries such as mine, the average individual has no idea that there really is another dimension. There really are beings from another dimension. There really are demonic forces that are after the heart and mind and soul of ourselves and our children and grandchildren. We'll be back in just a moment here to wrap up this evening's program. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course our guest this evening has been Warren Smith, and his book is called The Deceived on Purpose, The New Age Implications of the Purpose-Driven Church. And I will tell you, this is a fascinating book, a book that you have to read through from beginning to end. But in the end, you find that it's well worth it, because, of course, he pulls together all of the various concepts, and you begin to see in the purpose-driven life and the purpose-driven church the teachings of Robert Schuller. And Robert Schuller certainly has long been associated, in my estimation, with New Age teaching. Now, many times you won't admit this. He does everything under the guise of Christianity. But, of course, basically, you go into the background of what he does and the people he encourages and the things he says on television, and he's moving people away from traditional Christianity towards the new religion. So we've got about just 2 minutes for you to wrap things up tonight.
Yeah, I think I'd just like to emphasize that there was a caller earlier that said, how do you approach people that are involved in this? And I tried to do my book very respectfully, and the book reads fairly well because I just reproduced the process that I went through. I didn't know Rick Warren. I started reading his book, and I just described my impressions as I hit certain things like Bernie Siegel, and all of a sudden here's a New Age leader with no description in the book, or some of the things that we've talked about tonight, all of the parallels with Robert Schuller. How this fits in with the new spirituality, that is the new spirituality is actually what the New Age is calling itself today, and most people don't know that. So, again, I don't take a royalty for this book. I wrote it because I felt that it needed to be written, and there are a lot of people out there that are getting very confused, and I hope that this book will help a lot of people to put this thing together, and I hope that Rick Warren and Christian leaders will start to expose the New Age rather than moving the church into it.
I think that the whole church growth movement is done so subtly. It is done so cleverly that the average person may suspect something's wrong, but they can't quite put their finger on it. And I think that the strength of your book helped me to see more clearly what it is, how they're doing it, because if they said, we're here to change Christianity, why, people would certainly be concerned. But if we're here to make Christianity better and to reach more people and to do God's work, how can you disagree with that? But I think what you've done, Warren, and you've done it very, very well, is to bring out the background of what's going on and then show the tie between what's happening today and the New Age apostasy, which has the capacity to destroy Christendom as we know it. Thank you so very much for being with us, and we'll look forward to talking to you from time to time again. Or if anything comes up, please give me a call.
Okay, Dr. Stan, thanks a lot.
Good night. God bless. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and again, the book is Deceived on Purpose. We do carry that through Radio Liberty. We carry the four tapes out on the church growth movement. We carry the video, Diaprax in the Church. For we carry the Apostate Church, which is a four-tape set. We carry for the Catholics the Wisdom of Malachi Martin, which goes into similar influence in the Catholic Church. We have a new book called Lucifer's Lodge, and of course it goes into actually satanic groups working within the Catholic Church. It's written from a Catholic point of view by a man who is very, very concerned about what's happening to the Catholic Church, just as certainly Warren Smith is concerned about what's happening to the Protestant Church. And, of course, both branches of Christendom are under attack today, very definitely. So if you'd like to know more about how to get these items, we've talked about Lucifer's Lodge, the Wisdom of Malachi Martin, Deceived on Purpose, the Church Growth Movement, four-tape set, the Apostate Church, four-tape set, the video Diaprax in the Church. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we hope that many of you will go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, where you can listen to our programs on the Internet, where you can actually read our newsletters, which are posted there, where you can actually see some of the items we carry that do help us do what we do, because it's always a job at the end of every month to be able to meet those radio bills as they come in. And believe me, it's an expensive proposition. Being on radio, various outlets, certainly our weekend program alone is heard on 35 stations, and some of those are extremely, extremely expensive stations. But we are reaching a growing number of people across America. So people can listen to our programs on the Internet, five hours a day, on, of course, the American Christian Network from 7 to 8 Pacific time every morning, on GCN Live from 3 to 5 p.m. Pacific time every afternoon, and then from 4 to 5 on and from 8 to 10 Pacific time on Radio Liberty. You can listen to our shortwave programs 4 hours a day. You can certainly go to our archives at RadioLiberty.com. So what a wonderful opportunity to reach people, to get these ideas out. And feel free to pull down our newsletters off our Internet site and distribute them, copy them and distribute them. We do hope that many of you will, perhaps if you do not have access to a computer, you'd like a free copy of our newsletters. Our August newsletter talks about money. It talks about what Warren Buffett, the wisest investor of the 20th century, really thinks, what he is doing with the massive funds available to him, with the billions of dollars he has available to invest at Berkshire Hathaway, which is his corporation. And then, of course, we tell you what Alan Greenspan really thinks. Our September newsletter, which is available now, simply goes into the background of why the American people don't understand what's happening, and then where our economy is really headed. I think you'll find either one of those newsletters, either the August or September newsletter, well worthwhile. We'd be glad to send you a free copy if you just give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And then we want to mention we're having a all-day seminar here at the North Shore of Monterey Bay on the 6th of November. It's a Saturday. If you can come, why, we'd certainly look forward to seeing you. Lunch will be served. Start at about 8:30 in the morning, 8:45. Go through till 5 in the afternoon. You'll find it a fascinating time. And so until Monday, when we'll be back with you once again here at Radio Liberty, this is Dr. Stan saying good night, and may the Lord be with you.